I'm Brian.
I'm Griffin. This is the eBay for Business podcast, your source for the information and inspiration to help you start and manage and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 209. And in the studio this week, as usual, is Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Griff. How are you?
I'm okay. It's been a... I hate to keep using that. It sounds cliche. It's been a busy week, Brian.
It has been, though. I was on the road earlier in the week.
Oh, where do you go?
I actually went back east to Maryland, University of Maryland. There was an organization called TEDCO, and they put on a conference, and our government relations organization asked if we'd go out and support it. And so I went out and did a little short presentation with one of our sellers, and then we had a booth there for the day, and it was a well-attended event, probably around 400 plus potential sellers and people interested in technology. It was a really interesting, good event. I met a senator.
Which senator?
Senator Cardin from Maryland.
Ah, cool. Did you meet any sellers who might want to come on the podcast, though? That's the question. Can't remember.
No, I can't remember.
Brian, I thought when you go out into the outside world, that would be job one.
I was handing out eBay swag and pitching eBay the whole day.
Next time, let me get something into your mind before you go. Well, you should have brought a recorder too.
Oh, I could have. This was less about existing sellers, and I'd say more about like an incubation. So these are people who have businesses or have started businesses in the wider Maryland, DC kind of area. And so they're looking, saying, hey, there's other opportunities to do stuff. And it was interesting because it wasn't just eBay there. There was another marketplace that you could imagine was there.
Big A.
Big A.
They follow us everywhere.
They do.
They have no sense of originality.
I know. They were never a marketplace and then became one because of us.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's the power of this marketplace. Yeah.
And then, Apple, Google, Meta, like all the big technology companies were there.
Oh, cool. That's good.
It was interesting.
I'm glad we made a presence.
Yeah. And the senator's office, the only company that he pushed out on his Twitter handle was ours.
Thank you very much, Senator.
Yeah.
Senator what?
Cardin.
Cardin. Thank you, Senator. We appreciate it.
He seemed like a good, sharp guy.
We used to have, it was called the United States of eBay. This was back in 2005 when we started that. And we would accompany sellers to DC and set up appointments for them to meet with their representatives in Congress, whether they were senators or congresspeople. And it was always fascinating. It was always interesting. Sometimes you just met with staff, but occasionally we would meet with a senator and they wanted to know, you know, what is it that we can do to make eBay sellers' lives easier?
And that eventually then morphed into Main Street then.
Main Street. Yes, it did.
So, yeah. Interesting. It has been a busy week and a productive week. And this week is also going to be a busy week.
Well, that's because tomorrow you've got some news about that. It's in your script.
I do have. Should we segue right into the news? Or actually, before we do that.
Yeah, what?
Who's our guest this week?
Oh, our guest this week. His name is Jaron Moore. He was another seller that's joining us here on campus. And he has a very interesting eBay selling background. And I'm not going to tell you anymore. You'll have to listen to the segment. But first, let's get to that news. Do you have any news?
We don't have really any news, but we have old news.
Ah.
No new news, but the old news is still hot. eBay Open starts tomorrow, September 21st. It's not too late to register. Go to www.ebay.com/open and register from there.
Yeah, and if for some reason it doesn't line up with your schedule for this week, I just confirmed with Allison, you know, our teammate who runs this whole thing, that most of the sessions are all going to be available after the event for viewing on YouTube. So if you miss any session during the actual eBay Open event starting tomorrow, you can always catch it on YouTube. And I don't know when they'll be up, but they're usually up pretty quick.
Yeah, normally within the following week, they're up. But encourage you to go register and try and make some of it in person, because the nice thing about being in person is if there's something that you're not sure about, you can ask a question, and there are lots and lots of eBay employees online there to answer any questions you have about the content that you're seeing.
Yeah, and they won't be on YouTube, so that's the benefit for the live part, right?
Right, and I get to go in person, too.
Oh, where?
Down to Los Angeles.
Oh, so you're traveling down there.
Yeah.
When do you leave?
Well, after I'm done here, then I'm going to be heading down to Los Angeles.
You're going to be in the live eBay Open.
Yes. We've got three in person, New York, Austin, and Los Angeles. They're all sold out.
Oh, yeah. They sold out really quick, too.
They did.
Yeah.
if we do them again like this next year, keep an eye out for the announcements to register early if you want to go in person.
Well, if the fates allow, who knows? We could be back live totally, so we'll see.
Don't say that, because I would love that.
Why not? So you think I'm jinxing it?
Yes. That's okay. My superstitious.
You didn't hear me say it. I have no idea where we'll be in 2023.
None of us do. I don't even think Allison does.
She better soon, right?
Yeah, but I think they're still in the planning phases and stuff.
Yeah, that's good. But we'll see. Hey, let's meet this week's guest. Here we are, Brian, back in the studio with another seller.
It's great to be in the studio with the seller.
And this seller this week is Jaron Moore. He sells on eBay under the user ID Big Dreams. What an aspirational user ID.
It is. One of the better ones.
Yeah. My user ID is lowered expectation. Jaron, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
As you may have heard last week or the week before, we have a lot of sellers on campus this week. So we're pre-recording sessions ahead of time. And they're all here to meet with the different teams in our seller experience team and provide some input. Have you provided any input this week, Jaron?
Absolutely, especially at lunch yesterday. I mean, it was rapid fire. It was great. We were interacting. They were asking us questions. We were asking them questions. And it was just a good environment, because I think for the first time for me, I was able to see, you know, how important sellers are to eBay and how important like eBay is to us sellers. Like, we're partners in this thing. And so prior to coming here, I didn't really know that. Since being here, I've seen that like wholeheartedly, that you guys like really, really care about the sellers.
I was there for second half. I saw there was returns, I know, late morning, and then there was the ads team. And yeah. I was there for all of the ads one. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good. Brandy is a great partner.
Absolutely. And then yesterday with the dinner, we had the seller experience team. And I mean, that was just amazing as well. Just getting to, you know, talk with a lot of the eBay heads and getting to know you guys and, you know, learn more about the business aspect, because I don't think a lot of sellers really have a good understanding of what all you guys actually do.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Yes, I would agree.
I turn knobs and get paid.
Yeah.
But
it works, though.
You know, it's interesting. And you know, you talk about learning from us and kind of what we do, but I bet everyone at dinner last night and lunch and during Ian Bednowitz with returns, I bet they all said they learned more from you than they gave information to you.
Yeah.
Because it's great to talk to sellers and hear the nuances of the product and the issues that you guys have, or suggestions just to make it improved a little bit. Like Liz always talks about, Liz O'Kane, who is here as well, said, just if you can remove a click, it's only 1 second, but over hundreds of times a week, huge. So for our product teams and the seller experience team, especially, to hear you from last night, I'm sure it was a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely.
What did you learn yesterday during the ads team? And to clarify, the ads team runs the promoted listing tools. There's Promoted Listings Express, Standard, and Advanced. What did you learn during that hour?
A lot of it was things that I already knew, because a lot of people, they think that they can just turn promoted listings on and just automatically get sales. And so what they communicated to us was that, okay, the title still has to be very, very good.
Yeah.
The item specifics still have to be on point. Like, you still have to put together a very good listing in order to make a sale. Another thing that we were asking, okay, how do you rank it? Like, if we all, let's say, because, you know, we're selling clothes or whatever, we all market at 2%, then who gets ranked higher? Basically, what they explained to us was we default to whoever has the better title, and they look at the other metrics. And so all that other information goes into play, like filling out those item specifics and just kind of, you know, really tighten it up.
Your listing quality.
Listing quality. Like, it just makes such a big difference. And so that was what I really took away from that. I'm like, okay, this is good right here.
So listing quality is kind of like that foundation. You can't necessarily use promoted listings to kind of cover that up.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And price. I see sponsored, what they call sponsored ads, which are the promoted listings, and they're okay. And then right next to it will be the same listing pretty much for a lot lower price. There's a misunderstanding that if promoted listings, I can charge more.
Sure. Yeah. Right. And yeah, they seem to think that, and it's not the case. You've got to be where the market is. And so, you know, if you're not going to be where the market is, you're going to be way too high. You're never going to get any sales. And it doesn't matter, you know, how much you promote it. It doesn't matter.
So, speaking of markets, what's your market? What do you sell?
I am primarily in men's clothing, pre-owned clothing, t-shirts, long sleeves, hoodies, pants, jeans, shorts. I try to stick with mainly, you know, those types of clothing. I used to do shoes. I stopped doing shoes just because I had a hard time storing them. And I found that, you know, clothing was just much easier for me, much easier for me to scale, much easier for me to ship, much easier for me to deal with. So I like to focus on clothes. And I don't think you go to, you know, to the thrift stores across America and you go in and, you know, most of the stores are full of women's clothing. And you're like, where's the men's?
Yeah, they always put it off in a corner somewhere.
Like, they're like, you don't see it. It's that rack over there. You're like, where? I'm like, where's the rest of it? So, you know, I mean, I'm like, I want to definitely cater to men.
Yeah.
So
I'm the same way.
And primarily pre-owned or new and pre-owned?
So primarily pre-owned. I like the margins on pre-owned. And it just seems to be easier to get in abundance. Though I will get new clothes as well when I can. It's just not as often.
Sometimes you find new clothes in a thrift store. I have done in the past where they still have the labels and everything on it. Great deals.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although I've confessed every episode, I haven't been inside a thrift store in like 3 years. But that'll change.
Yeah. So would you prefer like garage sales or?
I prefer my own garage, which is so full of shirts right now that are sitting there waiting to be listed. I really would feel guilty adding to that.
That's right. You have a lot of men's clothes too.
I have
with
so
shirts.
Many.
So Griff has a death pile.
Well, I like to think of it on life support pile. All it needs is just a little work on my end.
Every 30 seconds, there's a beep.
Yeah.
I have a monitor set up, you know, and if it flatlines, I'll know. But, you know, actually, I've gone out and looked, and some of these things I bought like 7, 8 years ago, and they all have their tags. I keep the thrift store tags so I know what I paid. There's a lot of money sitting out there. So it's not about me, but I do. Every time I have a seller on who talks about clothing, especially men's clothes, there's a pang of guilt that shoots through me.
Oh, gosh.
I guess I could just open my own thrift store and resell it.
But you probably should. I'll buy from you.
You will?
Yeah. If you wholesale it, tell me, I'll get it from you.
Good idea.
Yeah, okay. Maybe think about that.
All right. I'm going to keep in the back. But what kind of, you just buy indiscriminate men's clothing or is there specific styles that you look for?
There's specific brands, specific styles, and like specific sizes as well. Because I mean, like extra small for men, it's just not as common. Like there's certain colors that don't do as well. Maybe like orange, just to throw it out there. I mean, it's just weird, you know. And so it's just a little different. So there are, you know, specific brands, and I'm always doing research to try to develop a deeper Rolodex of brands that, you know, are succeeding in the marketplace.
I have a sneaking suspicion you wouldn't be interested in my inventory because it is geared to the older gentleman of a certain age.
Yes.
It might ruin your brand.
You don't buy Tommy Bahama, do you?
I do.
Oh,
I do. I actually do. Yeah.
Like Big Loud Prince?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, maybe things are changing. Yeah. Are younger people buying that stuff now?
No. Well, it'll be the older crew. I would say the you know, my customers range from probably around 18 to about like maybe 60 or so. So I got a nice range. Yeah,
that is a good range. Yeah. Yeah. I'm out of your range now, but I like to think that I'm still inside of it.
Hey, yeah, you can still buy stuff. It doesn't matter. Yeah, we still got love for you.
It's not the number, it's the mind.
That's right.
If you had told me 5 years ago that I was going to grow one of those old man bald on top ponytails. I don't know what happened. I didn't get a haircut through the pandemic, and now I look like my customers. But you don't think you're going to turn into something, but I did turn into like a Jimmy Buffett concert goer. I don't know where that is. All I'm missing is flip-flops. So
give you some flip-flops. You're in the right area to get you some flip-flops.
Yeah,
and you can
true.
Pull that off. That's for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I'm going to start going to Jimmy Buffett concerts.
Absolutely.
Huaraches.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, go upscale, man.
Whenever
yeah.
I was in a thrift store, I'd buy every Huarache I could find.
Really?
Yeah, I love those.
Would you sell them or just for yourself?
No, I'd sell them. And I never had a problem selling Huaraches.
Really?
Yeah. I looked for brand names. Like, you know,
right.
Nordstrom's made Huaraches for a while, and those are really hot if you can find them. All right, this is turning into a what
yes.
to source program.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh.
When did you start selling?
I started selling 5 years ago. Yeah, about 5 years ago. And the way I started selling was through my grandmother. So I like to call her an OG of thrifting because before it even, you know, became big to sell online, she would, you know, thrift at the Goodwills. Like they knew her by name. All the clothes that we had growing up, like my parents never had to buy because my grandmother like furnished the clothing, all name brand, all good clothing. And so she would have garage sales in her neighborhood basically every Saturday. We would help her out. I mean, it was just, you know, all the people from the neighborhood would flock over to her stuff, buy it. I remember one day, this was as she got older because she stopped doing that as much. She has so much stuff. She's borderline hoarder. She has so much stuff in her house. It is great. She has so
I want to go to her house.
I pointed I pointed at Grip. Yeah. That's why.
He pointed at you.
My eyes got big.
Yeah. So anyways, she had all this stuff. And I was like, man, Grandma, they got a lot of stuff. She's like, you know, I think I need to put it on eBay. And I was like, eBay? I was like, I thought eBay was just for like laser pointers and, you know what I mean? Just like random stuff. I had no idea that you could put products on there like that and just sell them at mass.
Your grandma was smart.
Yeah. And so I was like, let me do some research on this. At the time, I was working for Texas Tech University, which is my alma mater. And all throughout business school, I was trying to figure out what kind of business can I start? You know, I'm really contemplating, couldn't really get an understanding of what I wanted to do. When she mentioned that, like, I just couldn't get it out of my head. I'm like, eBay, let me go check this out. And so I'm looking online, I'm seeing how resellers are doing like amazing. And it's not that, it doesn't seem to be that hard. And they're making a lot of money. There's not a whole lot of barriers to entry. Let me try this out. And so I had an Xbox, an extra Xbox at the house, put it online and it sold. And I was like, okay, I kind of like that.
You were hooked.
I was hooked. And so I was like, okay, well, let me, you know, I got this shirt. I don't really need it anymore. Let me put that on there. Put it on there and it sold. And I'm like, oh, I think we're on to something here. And so I slowly just kept on selling and kept on selling and was able to convince my wife to go full time after like 2 years. So she's like,
so both of you are full time in this now?
No, just me.
Just
you? Yeah, just me. Yeah.
So you had to convince your wife that you were going to go full time.
Because if it was up to me, I would have done it like immediately after I sold the Xbox. And she's like, you're not ready yet. And so
I think you have a smart wife.
I was like, I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to go all in. She's like, nope, not happening.
At the time, you have a full time job. And where was that again?
At Texas Tech University, the Health Sciences Center. I was the buyer for plant operations. Yeah.
All right. So you have some experience with business on that end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And purchasing.
With purchasing, yes. And I managed the purchasing ledger and stuff like that. So it helped out a lot. But, you know, a lot of my job was buying products and, you know, dealing with the wholesale accounts and just making sure that the guys had their materials for, you know, projects going around the building and all that good stuff.
And when did you stop doing that?
So I stopped January 2020. So the year of the pandemic, that's when I went full time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And we didn't know in January what was coming.
We had no clue.
How did that impact your moving into eBay?
I made more money that year than I had like all while working at the Health Sciences Center. And I had gotten probably 4 or 5 raises. They were getting ready to move me up to like a different role. Like I was getting ready to get another promotion. And like that first year being full time on eBay, I made a lot more. But it helped out because like I told you, all this stuff that my grandmother had, well, she ended up passing away and we had to get rid of a lot of her stuff. I mean, we had like probably 2 different roll-off dumpsters that we filled up probably twice because the roof had caved in and somebody had broke in. And so they ransacked the place and like just kind of made a mess of it. So a lot of the stuff we got rid of and some of it I was able to keep. Once I launched out full time, I had probably 2,000 or so items to work with. Yeah, just starting off.
Wow, well, that's good. So that's a big help to have that much inventory.
It was a huge help. If I didn't have that, I don't know if I would have been as successful in the beginning.
In a way that doesn't give away too much information you don't want to give, how big is your business on eBay? Like how many listings do you have up?
Right now, I would say probably about 2,600 items up right now. Yeah.
And your average sales transaction number per week?
Maybe 200 or so.
A week?
Yeah, maybe 200 or so.
So you're outsourcing all the time to keep that volume up.
Yeah, you got to keep the volume up. And then with me having as many items as I do, like I'm running sales and just trying to force as many sales as I possibly can. Like I want to be as aggressive as I can in making sales. So I'm doing whatever I can, sending out coupons.
So for you, it's
offers.
A lot about turns. Then.
It's a lot of it because I don't want to be a storage facility. I mean, like I run everything out of my house. Like I have a shed in the backyard. And it's pretty good size.
Is that where everything is?
That's where most of the stuff is.
It can't be just a shed. It has to be somewhat protected, right? I mean, it's safe from the weather.
It's safe. Yeah. And I actually recently, one of my friends came out and helped me out with the door and it's like reinforced. Like it's on there pretty good. I mean, everything's safe. Everything's bagged up nice and neat and categorized. And yeah, but
the bagging, especially for clothing, I've seen some big sellers who've done that, even, you know, with like 10,000 square foot warehouses where everything's bagged because they're afraid like if the sprinklers go off.
Yeah. They're going to get all wet.
They're going to. Yeah.
I had an experience recently. Some squirrels broke into, I know it's hilarious, but so squirrels, I was at war with some squirrels probably like 6 or 7 months. I mean, it was bad. I ended up winning, so I got rid of all of them. That's why the door is reinforced now, because that's how they got in.
Oh,
they were chewing through it. But yeah.
Were they looking for clothing?
No, they weren't looking for the clothing. They were just nesting. I mean, they were biting through some of the bags, but they never like ruined any of the clothes. They did poop on some of the bags, so that was gross. But
I get this picture in my head of Chip and Dale arguing over pulling at a sweater saying, it's mine. No, it's mine. It's mine.
I need fresh air. No, hey, let's be inside.
Yeah, it was bad, though, but it's a lot better now. But I'm glad I had those bags, had the stuff in the bags.
Okay, so. I'm always looking for first on the podcast, and squirrels biting my clothing is the...
I think we should, for our listeners, if you've had a squirrel experience or some other rodent experience, like send us a message. Call in.
See, we're going to turn into a completely different program in a minute here.
Well, I bet, but you said you reinforced the door. Uh-huh. There might have been other things that you did too that prevent that from occurring in the future.
Oh, absolutely.
And where are you located? Where is this?
So I'm located in Lubbock, Texas.
All right. So there's always the possibility of like tornadoes and storms.
Sure. Yeah. We haven't had one since like 1970, but storms, yes. And since like having that door reinforced, nothing gets in. Absolutely nothing gets in.
Do you carry insurance for your inventory?
No, I probably should, though. Yeah,
probably should.
Yeah, I probably should.
Do you have growth aspirations? We just talked to a seller, and she has none. And other sellers who say, yeah, I'm looking, you know, I want to have 10,000 listings, and I want to have 5 employees, and I want to have $1 million and a yacht. Where are you on that scale?
So, I mean, I'm on that spectrum as well. I definitely want to, I mean, with my business background, like I said, I always wanted to have a business. I want to be around people. And I want to help develop them as well and, you know, just kind of help them go through that ladder and want to see what we can create together. Like, I love the culture that you guys have built here at eBay, and I want to try to build something like that as well. Like, one of the things I really dislike for people is when they hate their jobs, because you spend so much time at work, and for you to, you know, not enjoy it, like, it breaks my heart. And so I've always wanted to create opportunities for people where they can just love their job, be involved in this amazing culture. And so do that. I really see myself growing and taking this eBay thing like higher and higher and having more and more employees and just trying to make an impact and a difference as much as we possibly can.
What a great dream.
It is. And do you have employees now?
I don't. I have somebody who helps me out, like as far as the sourcing and stuff like that, but he's not an employee per se.
How long have you been gone this week?
I've been gone since Monday.
So what have you done this week to keep the business going while you're here? It's kind of a full-time thing while you're here, yeah.
It's definitely a full-time thing, but my wife has been helping me out tremendously. So on top of her taking care of the kids, she's been shipping out for me and everything as well. So I accept the offers as they come, but she's been shipping out for me. So kudos to her. She's doing a great job.
How old is your oldest?
She is 4.
All right. So you got another 5 years. You can start putting it at work.
Well, here's the thing. She already likes to work. Right now, she wants to come help out. Like, I have to tell her sometimes, okay, I'll do this, you know, but most of the time she wants to come help. So she'll help me bag up stuff, put, you know, labels on packages. Like, she wants to get involved. So
that's great.
I don't know about my youngest. Well, she's 2 months. So I don't know, you know, as she grows older, if she'll want to help out, but we'll see. I'll welcome it, though.
Add used binkies into the packaging.
Yeah.
Position her in a way that she can observe what's going on, so it becomes clear that the way to daddy's heart is through shipping labels through and packaging.
Exactly.
Right?
If I can get him to take some photos, too, that'd be even better.
Yeah. Oh. Because
that's the one area I do not like doing, is taking photographs.
Why is that?
I don't know. I just don't like taking the photos.
Well, with clothing too, do you do flat or mannequin?
Okay, so I do them flat. I'm on my knees, okay? And I have this camera. I have this soft little cushion though, so it doesn't hurt too bad for the knees. But you know,
but
just kind of being
up. Why are you on your knees? That's really bad.
So I don't have to keep getting up, standing up, moving. Like, I'm literally in one spot and I'm just kind of like on my knees, just taking it, just boom, here. And it doesn't take me very long to do them. In order for me to take pictures of 40 items, I can do it in probably like 35 minutes, measurements and everything.
I think you can do it quicker.
Think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Sounds like you got a handy friend, the guy who helped with the door. See if he can help you build a table.
I bet he could. I bet he could.
We really need to do a video series on taking photographs. I keep saying this, and we keep putting it off. But once that room is cleared out in there where we used to do the Facebook stuff is now storage, we need to do this.
It'll get cleaned out soon.
Do it. I'll definitely check it out. Absolutely.
We need one of these raisable tables.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Well, that's what we have right here.
Is it? So it just kind of moves up and stuff. Yeah.
They're not inexpensive, though. It's the, oh, yeah. They're probably $800 or so.
It's just eBay. You just ask for one. They build you.
Well, that's us. I'm talking about,
I don't have the budget yet.
Small businesses have got to watch their pennies.
You might deassess these. You should keep in touch with the facilities.
Might surplus those out. Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah.
I think we might. I don't know.
Hey, yeah, I don't know.
I'll keep in touch.
We got a lot of them. They're all over the place. I think you could take one. No one's going to ask.
I see if I can get it on the flight back with me. I don't know if we can make that.
It might be tough. So if you've been doing clothing, any other categories that you've kind of dabbled in? I know you mentioned shoes, but that's kind of clothing as well. Anything outside of the clothing space?
So I'm definitely not an expert in anything else, but the automotive parts, the toys, the cars, they all interest me. Like, I'm willing to learn about any category just because I get to talk to people all the time, like whether it be at my church or just friends or whatever. And like, they always have questions. And so I love to be able to have like an intelligent conversation with them about like license plates or toys or just whatever, you know. So
have you done any consignment or had people approach you to do consignment?
I have, but I just don't know like what type of model I would use. And I could just see it being a disaster because people normally think that their stuff is worth more than what it is. And so I just don't even want to, you know, have those arguments and deal with people on that.
There are two folks who are here this week, Sherry and Dana. And so talk to them about consignment because they both do it and they've figured it out over 10 plus years and including like, hey, your time is money. Everyone thinks, oh, you can just list this for me and not get, you'd be charged. And it's like, yeah, no, this takes time.
It can be a very good model. We've had, if you listen to a past episode with Lynn Brogy, she actually has an entire support group where they help other consignment sellers get started. These are people who have been through that experience and they know the do's and the don'ts so that you can avoid some of those pitfalls. But it can be, especially depending where you are. It really can be a great way to source inventory for no money.
No, that's a really good idea. I think just having that knowledge and being educated, it would make the difference. And so maybe that is something I go do now. It's just kind of, you know, try to get that in my wheelhouse and learn a little bit more about it so that I can, you know, do something like that. I think that'd be a good idea.
Check out the Lynn Brogy episode because she had really good pointers. Really good.
Okay. I will. Lynn Brogy.
Is it Linda Lightman who built a whole business in Philadelphia?
Around, yes.
Consignment. Around luxury high good. End. High really? End brands. Yeah. Jaron, we always ask our sellers when they've come up because they always have so much experience. And if you were to meet a seller, and I'm sure you might meet a potential aspiring seller who has asked you for advice or information, what do you normally tell them?
I would tell them, okay, hey, let's figure out what area we want to sell in. You know, it could be a hobby or, you know, something that, you know, just really enjoy. And let's try to see like what are the profitable items in that niche. And then let's figure out how to get those items and buy those items at a cheap price and be able to sell those for a profit. I would always preach to people the listings. You got to have really good keywords, like your titles have to be on point so that people can find your listing. Like I always like to think of it like a GPS. You know what I mean? Like this is how people are going to know that you have this particular, you know, set of golf clubs or this pitching wedge or whatever. Like you put everything in there that they're going to be needing. You built that title. Built those item specifics, like really try to cater to that buyer and think like that buyer. And then, of course, make sure that you're pricing according to market. I think that's something that a lot of resellers struggle with is that, you know, they don't have a good feel on the market. And so, you know, they're pricing themselves out of possibly making the sale. So you do that, like you're going to be fine.
Great practical advice.
And I love the analogy of a GPS. Like, that's a great analogy.
I mean, it's wonderful. I know, I had moved to Ohio briefly. I was playing some football. I had never been to Ohio, didn't know anything. But that GPS, it helped me out so much because it told me exactly where to go, how long it would take to get there. And that's just what I think about, like, online. It's like those keywords, the item specific, like, that's the GPS.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it. And hopefully the street view's not too put off. Well, Jaron, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Yes. And I hope you enjoy the stays almost up. I think you have another day here this afternoon.
Yeah. So we'll leave out tomorrow, Friday. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's been a pleasure meeting you and continued success.
Yes. Well, I appreciate you guys for having me on and continued success for you guys as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Jaron.
Jaron Moore sells on eBay under the user ID Big Dreams. We'll put a link to his store in the summary overview for this episode.
You got questions?
Well, big deal. We all have questions. It's the answers that are important.
And do you have answers?
Well, I always pretend to. No, we do. We have three questions, Brian. Hopefully, we'll have the answers. And the first one is a sort of follow-up to a question we answered last week about using a credit card to pay for eBay labels. You remember that?
You mean the question from Tisket?
Yeah, you remember. Very good, Brian. Yes, eBay seller Tisket, who you may also remember, wanted to use a cashback credit card to pay for her shipping labels, that Tisket.
So she could get a little cash recoup on each label purchase.
Yes, exactly. So when I first researched the question, the team member who responded told us that using a credit card on the eBay labels flow as a funding method wasn't possible. That's what we explained to Tisket, and we showed her how she could add a credit card to her PayPal account and then configure it on PayPal as a funding method for labels by connecting it to something in her automatic payment settings called eBay shipping. And if you want to go back to episode 208, you can hear that entire answer. But that's basically it.
And I do remember that. And I remember it was a little confusing then, and it's still a bit complicated.
Yes, it is. But I'm going to make it even more complex. So hold on to your chair there. I dug a little deeper and asked another shipping team colleague about this, and she rightfully pointed out that a little something we missed previously.
Really? What did we miss this time?
Well, it's about paying for USPS labels purchased on eBay, because if the label you're purchasing through eBay's print label tool is USPS label, it is indeed possible to pay with a credit card or debit card on eBay.
Well, that's more than a little something, don't you think?
Yes, I know. Sorry, I didn't want to emphasize it. It's all relative, but okay, maybe not so little.
So how does it work?
I'll tell you, but first, let's read the question on the same topic sent to podcast@ebay.com by eBay seller Ed, who wrote, "Good afternoon, Griff and Brian. I heard your recent response regarding how to link a credit card to a PayPal account. Is there a way to pay for eBay shipping directly on a credit card rather than going through PayPal? Is a PayPal account required to purchase shipping on eBay? Thanks, Ed Weber, also known as Gully95. I assume that's his user ID.
I think it is. Well, thank you, Ed. It seems we have an answer, yes?
Well, we do. Try to visualize this in your head because it's a podcast. It doesn't have visuals. If you're purchasing a USPS label on eBay, you can indeed fund that label from eBay. If you look at the two funding options under that section of the label page that's called Select How You Pay, for the Your Funds option, you'll see a link for Select a Different Payment Method. If you click it, you can then select to use or add a credit or debit card. It'll show you a list of your current cards on file. So for Ed and for Tisket, they could add their cashback credit card here, and then they can use it to purchase labels without having to go through PayPal, and they'll get their cash back. That's one way. But, and there's always a but.
There is always a but, isn't there?
And this is a big but, Simone. This option is only available for labels purchased from USPS. If you are purchasing a UPS or FedEx label, what you can do, you can add a credit card, a specific credit or debit card, in the payments section of Seller Hub. If you go to payments and then settings, there is a option for adding credit cards and how they're used. You would add a credit card, or you select a credit card that's already on file, and then you would open it, you'd click the edit link, and there's a slider, and you can slide it to on for pay for eBay selling costs. And that will include UPS and FedEx labels, which are only paid for when they're used.
Right.
So that's something to keep in mind.
I remember last week that talked about that as well.
But the default is that even if you have a payment method like a credit card selected to pay for selling costs, eBay will always go to your payout funds balance and use that first. So if you really want to make sure that all of those selling costs are paid for with the credit card on file, you want to go to daily payouts so that your money is taken out of the payout account and swept into your bank account. And then you're more than likely to always have zero balance in payments, and that means it'll then default to the second method, which will be the credit card you have on file. Brian, our next question is with regards to a statement we made in the last episode, as they usually are. And why don't you read it, and then we'll discuss it. It's from eBay seller Joel.
And what Joel says is, with regards to your 9/13 episode statement made that using time away and allowing sales the handling time and the shipping date is automatically adjusted,
Time Away help page says that delivery date for GSP, that's Global Shipping Program, sales and several other types of sales is not updated by Time Away and that handling time should be changed for them. This contradicts what was said yesterday, which is correct, Joel Stern.
And then Joel added in his email to us the text from the eBay help page, which says, whether you choose to allow sales or pause them, delivery dates won't be updated for second chance offers, auto accepted offers, pending counter offers, seller initiated offers accepted during Time Away, and then items with local pickup, in-store pickup, or global shipping program as the shipping option, and then finally digital items.
So Joel, you're right. And it is confusing because there are exceptions to the Time Away handling time feature.
Yeah. And so to make it simpler, we could just say this. For domestic customers, the handling time shown to them is automatically adjusted with Time Away based on when you say you return. But for international shipments through GSP, as well as for most situations with offers, regardless of the type, handling time is not adjusted. For those, you may either want to remove GSP as a shipping option and turn off offers during your Time Away, which is, look, I'm just going to admit it. This is not ideal.
No, it is not.
No, it is not.
But I can see why that probably happens.
I'm dying to hear why you said that.
This is just me surmising.
Go ahead. Surmise away there, Brian.
And I now I feel like I'm going to have my head handed to me, and probably rightfully so.
It won't be me handing it to you. I can guarantee you.
Yeah, I think Joel's going to be writing back in and going, Brian, you should have just kept your mouth shut.
Well, never shoot the messenger. We don't make the product.
So right? The only thing that I'm thinking of is like with second chance offers or kind of like offers that are accepted, there's a moment in time when everything kind of gets locked, right? It's like the offer gets out and that offer is being made under a certain set of conditions, right? Mm-hmm. So in that scenario, you'd say, okay, it's one day handling with that service type. That's it. To me, it's almost like what we should do for things like offers. If we can't adjust the time on the fly, is pause the ability to make an offer until the seller gets back.
Yeah, and that may be the solution. For now, I don't know. But I believe there may be some good news on the horizon.
Oh. And without revealing any specific details, ooh, you may want to keep an eye out for news in the near future that will talk about updates to international shipping and how that may impact how the Time Away feature works.
And that's all we can say right now.
It is.
But you may infer that the news is good, but we couldn't possibly comment. So our next question comes from an eBay seller who has emailed us in the past. Margie wrote the following to podcast@ebay.com. Hi again. I need your advice. Again, I'm a top-rated seller and I have one-day shipping and free returns to maintain this. I have a buyer who originally bought a shirt and never paid. Mm-hmm. First question would be, why don't you have immediate payment? But that's okay. Marjorie says, we went back and forth, but I have auto cancel, and he was still messaging me to extend time. It's a $10 purchase, by the way. He messaged me last week. If I offered $13.75, he would pay it. I did. He paid. Now he's asking me to wait until Monday to ship it. He purchased it on a Thursday. My gut feeling is there's something off here. I also already have a nick. I guess that's another word for ding.
Yep.
For shipping late due to being on vacation mode and not fully understanding what date to put in. Do I call eBay, says Margie, and document that he's asking me to wait 4 days to ship? It's actually, if she sold it on Thursday, she has two business days.
Yeah, it's Friday, Monday.
On another note, after never having any buyers buy items and cancel a minute later, I have had two this week. Well, there you go. It doesn't rain, but it pours. Thanks again, Margie, whose user ID is MARJOR1758. I think her store name is Shop All Day Cafe. Brian, you know how we've talked in the past about persnickety or difficult buyers?
I do.
Yeah, well, I think one just stumbled into Marjorie's eBay store.
Maybe two, given she said she had two canceled this week.
Yeah, like I said, they do tend to come in batches. Anyway, I've always said there's no such thing as a really bad buyer unless they're out to defraud you. Well, okay, there are buyers that are difficult.
There are.
And this is one of them.
This is one of them.
Yeah. I think she so far has bent over backwards for this buyer.
I would agree. And the only suggestion, and you mentioned it at the very beginning, was if she's selling in fixed price, to use immediate pay, and then they can't go through this whole thing.
Yeah.
And I know that some sellers have a reason. They say, well, I want to be able to send them an invoice. Well, you can still do that with ImmediatePay. They can put everything they want to buy from you in the shopping cart, and then they can click the link that says, you know, ask the seller for an invoice. And if you want to give them a discount, mazel tov.
And there are some other sellers who like just to give their buyers that flexibility. To me, I think that's an okay approach. I think this is a really good example of something that will come up. And as a seller, if you're okay with this coming up occasionally, to be able to give the buyer the flexibility to combine and then you combine orders to save them on shipping costs, things like that, go for it. But I think if you're a seller, which Margie sounds like a seller who doesn't really want to deal with this stuff, if she's selling fixed price, immediate pay is the way to go. I think she's been over backwards as well.
Yeah, I think she's been more than patient. I think I would have not dealt even
for a $10 item.
Yeah, for $10. So
time is money. And so, Marjorie, if you had a minimum wage job here in California, we're now up to $15 an hour. If you spent more than 45 minutes on this issue, probably not a good idea.
Yeah, probably not.
So, Margie, it looks like you have three options.
Really? What are they?
Tell the buyer you cannot delay shipping and ship it today. Oblige the buyer's request for a delay and ship it Monday, or cancel the sale.
Which one would you do?
There's a little bit of flexibility in the rating stuff.
Well, she's got one nick against shipping time.
But I don't know how many items she sold.
Yeah, and there may be room for another nick.
So if she has room and she's feeling really kind this weekend or this week, I would just ship it on Monday. If not, I would tell the buyer you can't delay it and ship it.
Would probably, after all of this, lean towards just sending the item. I'd say, look, it's too late. It's post-payment. You know, you should have asked me before you paid. I really have to ship it out now. So it's going to ship on Friday.
Yeah.
And make arrangements for someone to pick it up if that's the case. You could also cancel the sale and eBay would back you up because the buyer is making a extra request for a service that was not required and they're making it after payment. But Marjorie, as we were talking about, you didn't say what your current percentage for your on-time shipping metric is, but it takes more than one or even two late shipments to impact a seller's performance. So there's that to keep in mind.
Yes. And Margie, you have to ask yourself, if a $13.75 sale is worth the time it would take to try and negotiate a metric adjustment.
Yeah, I know that sellers disagree with me, but I personally never recommend calling eBay customer support and asking them to adjust a metric like on-time shipping or feedback or any metric for that matter. That's just me.
But I would agree because especially something like this, like if she's otherwise going to remain top rated, then she's better off from my perspective, listing another item, answering an email that another customer happens to have, improving her images, taking pictures, sourcing, doing all the things that actually make her money, as opposed to calling us to say, can you remove a nick?
Yeah, a nick.
I actually like nick much better than
ding.
Ding.
I like dent.
Dent.
My metric has a dent in it. Can you hammer it out? Anyway.
You know, I'll put some Bondo over yours.
Well,
that's it for questions this week.
Aw.
But if you have a question for us here at the eBay for Business podcast, remember you can call it in at your convenience on 888-723-4630.
That's 888-723-4630. You can call it any time of the day, any day of the week, again, at your convenience. Leave a question or comment, and we just might put it on the air. And of course, if you give us your shipping address, we'll send you a real hot item. It's the eBay for Business podcast mug. Everyone wants one, and the supply is dwindling.
I thought it was unlimited.
No, it's dwindling.
If you're not a call on the phone person, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
And now I know you've dreaded it for the entire episode, but you can't get away. It's your 3-point podcast checklist. Number one.
Check the announcement board at ebay.com/announcements for up-to-date seller news every day.
And number two, way overdue for a reminder, so it's never too late to purchase a good thermal printer. Now, if you're tired of hearing me talk about thermal printers, I'm about to harp on something new, starting next month.
I'm curious.
Yes. It's to save the environment, and it's good looking on your packages. That's all I'm going to say.
If anyone needs to review anything on this episode, it's easy.
Check the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to find the links we reference during the episode.
Yeah, on our next episode, by the way, we're going to meet some more eBay sellers. And in fact, we're going to meet two, Brad and John. They're more popularly known as the Posh Kings. And these savvy entrepreneurs will share their insights and experience in both the on and the offline luxury apparel market.
We'd like to again thank our guest this week, Jaron Moore.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.